This is an Enterprise Times security podcast. My name is Ian Murphy. I'm here with Kai Grunwitz and Matthias Straub from NTT Security.
Hello, it's Kai Grunwitz from NTT Security. I'm running the NTT Security business in EMEA.
Hi, this is Matthias. I run consulting in Germany and Austria for NTT Security, and I'm with the company for 20 years.
You've recently published your risk value report looking at security. One of the interesting things is that we tend to talk about cybersecurity in this industry. What your report shows is it's much more about information security because this goes much further than the IT department. What were the key things that you found?
Oh, there were a couple of interesting items we discovered with the report. The first thing I want to highlight here is that really the business decision makers don't see cybersecurity at the front end of their risk exposure. They're more focusing on information security, as you correctly highlighted. That means they think about the information security as being part of their business strategy. And in that, they are concerned about policies, procedures, insider threats, and all the other things that surround the organizational people and processes as well, and not only on the cybersecurity side. And that's an important finding. We have, in fact, 7% of the companies only said that information security is the biggest threat for their business at the moment.
One of the challenges when we address the board is we tend to address the board looking for money to solve cybersecurity. The board is disengaged with cybersecurity. The board understands risk. It doesn't necessarily understand technical details. How do we change this conversation so that we present this as risk, an area that the board can understand, can make a decision on, and feels comfortable with?
We have a couple of components on that. One area is, of course, how cyber risk and cybersecurity is presented in front of the board. That means for me, we have to focus more on meaningful business KPIs the board understands when we talk about risk exposure, cybersecurity risk, cyber threats. It's not specific enough for them to understand what is the real exposure for the company. And that's why you see still, and something you find in our risk report as well, only 6 out of 10 companies have cybersecurity or information security as a board level topic. That means, first of all, the CISO has to work on the way how to present security topics to the board. If you look at the large companies right now, they all work on the digital transformation, which is important strategy for them. They have to change the way how they do the business, but they have to do it in a secure way. This is something that drives the board at the moment, how to change the business to adapt for future requirements. Security has to be attached to such programs instead of being a standalone topic and adding value to the business instead of being a pain where you have to pay and you never get a business outcome of that. Reporting meaningful KPIs and connecting cybersecurity or risk to business is more important than the pure technical perspective on the board level.
Security can be and should be a business enabler. In many cases, one very good example for me is cloud. Many companies still hesitate to go into the cloud, and security can be an enabler to go to the cloud in a secure way. So there is a return of investment.
When we think about being hacked, to most people, that's somebody to access the computers from outside, and we may have lost data. A lot of companies, for some reason, still think they've never been hacked or that they never will be hacked. The truth of the matter is that companies lose data, whether that be a malicious insider, somebody from outside, or simply a salesman who's going to a job with a competitor who takes a list of names and addresses with him. You had some very interesting results in this survey when it came to companies' views on this.
Yeah, that's true. In fact, most of the companies answering our survey were quite optimistic in regards to being hacked or in the future being hacked. And I believe you won't find a company that truly is able to say we are safe. Nobody can hack us. We have the information security put in place that will protect us in any case. In fact, our ethical hacking team is typically able to infiltrate any company within a few days. It's not that hard. Nowadays, there are tools available that allow you to do all kinds of stuff. To defend this, you should invest in detecting a compromise like that, because to really get safe in a way that you can say our security measurements are not going to be penetrated is impossible. You might be able to have a good incident response methodology in place to detect an attack like that, but you will not prevent it.
When you talk about detecting an attack from external is one thing. Detecting a salesman who's leaving to go elsewhere, who's simply just downloaded a set of names and addresses, something that they would do every day of their working life, how do we begin to detect that level of insider threat? Because that's just as damaging to an organization.
Many companies don't know where their crown jewels are in terms of data. You can start by starting a program to classify your data. We do this for many companies, and as soon as you identify where the data is that you want to protect, you can also protect this data from insiders. They are DRM technologies that are in place, that we put in place for companies to protect their internal data from insiders, something that we did quite effectively in Switzerland, for example, for the last few years.
It's always on the top of the radar for financial institutes because they are very scared about losing customer data. And as Matthias said, we also have good examples where we really, with a proper implementation and classification, we can track the documents downloaded and used by the different people, various people. But it's, of course, an effort. The first thing is more an analytical work to understand where is the data, what is the data we have to classify and how to classify. And then as soon as you've done your homework in that case, it's also possible to track it. It's never easy, as always, but it's doable, and it requires, of course, and again, that's important, some money and budget to do that, because it doesn't happen by accident. You have to invest in that.
One of the big challenges to organizations is compliance. You look around, most organizations aren't just having to be compliant with one piece of legislation. It's multiple pieces of legislation, and increasingly, this is becoming extraterritorial. It's legislation in a third-party country that impacts you. GDPR is a good example if you're an Australian or an American or a Chinese company. When companies are trying to build their protection mechanism for their data and where it moves, how do they align compliance requirements with risk?
The first thing you correctly stated, there are multiple different and contradictory regulations sometimes in place. You have to delete data on one hand with GDPR. On the other hand, you have to store the data for various reasons for 30 years in the healthcare or for 10 years in the automotive industry if it's relevant for safety reasons. These things have to be evaluated at the beginning while implementing the technical solution for a compliance program. What we see with our clients, we always start to identify what kind of regulations are relevant for you. There are sometimes an endless list of regulations, and it's important to prioritize what is the overarching regulation. For example, if you are in the healthcare business, HIPAA is, of course, too critical for you, and you cannot delete X-ray data or something like that, even if GDPR asks for that. So you have to classify and document that you have done the analysis and then build your program based on the regulations you're applying for you and then implement the technical stuff at the end. But a lot of companies start with a technical piece because they have to be compliant to GDPR and forget the other things. And then you have the problem on the return to the board level. They say, hey, we cannot do that for various reasons. Sometimes programs takes longer, but you have to prepare it from the ground in the right way. At least that's my recommendation here. And I have been with a couple of clients. They really did that in a very sophisticated way to avoid such conflicts. But they have a special program for that. It's not done by IT or IT security experts beside their day-to-day work. You need experts for that.
Reducing risk for the company as well as following regulations should go hand in hand, but in fact, in many cases, it does not. Obviously, companies are being chased around by regulations. So those are actually two different drivers, reducing company risk and also following regulations. It should go hand in hand, but in many cases, it does not.
To your initial question, when you ask about the surprising findings of the risk value report, you refer to the 40% of people saying that they will be never breached, or 35%, let's put it. This is, of course, a shocking statement from my side. As Matthias correctly said, there's always a way to be breached. Even more shocking was the way that they are more willing to pay ransom instead of investing in a proper risk and cybersecurity strategy. With all the things that happened in the past, people should think different. But the risk profile of the company, maybe because the business decision makers are not aware of the real exposure and the risks behind that. In the morning, we had a great presentation from Rick Ferguson, who really highlighted what could happen if you stop the belts at the airport to run and move the luggage around. This is a disaster for an airport and also for the business and all the stuff around. They are big exposures, and people only consider the ransomware risk and not the overarching business risk. And therefore, again, my statement, risk, cybersecurity, and business has to be connected on that. And the statement that 4 out of 10 people in Germany are ready to pay ransom instead of investing is a shocking finding, in fact.
But how much of this is a lack of skills internally? How much of this is business expediency? They see it easier to just simply pay than to spend the time and effort and recruit the people to solve the problem.
First of all, it's underestimated, because most of the people saying ransomware is this $100 payment if you do. They don't consider the broader scheme of the business impact. They think about their PC and not about the critical systems. Therefore, one is understanding and focus on business risk instead of individual smaller pieces of risks. On the other hand, they as well see the limitations on recruiting to find the resources to handle these projects. We had the discussion before, and we see that as well as one of the main drivers for MSS considerations and the companies, because they run out of resources at the moment. They're hiring, and there's a battle of talents around that. It's not only on cyber, we see it in various areas. Data scientists, you will not find them at the moment, because whoever can handle data is now a data scientist. We are in fact in a situation where we have the combination that we have a lack of skills on one hand, don't don't have enough people to implement the sophisticated security measures, as Matthias mentioned before, the DRM and data classifications, etc., but also threat detection and other things. On the other hand, all risk programs are very process-driven and not business-driven, and then this combines at the end to the problem.
But where do we split this skill shortage up? On one hand, we've historically brought tools into the market that companies have implemented, and there's been an assumption that they solve a set of problems. They certainly provide a route to solution, they don't always solve the problem. They've also built their own IT teams, but over the last 10 to 15 years, as skills have become hard, they've outsourced a lot of that. Cloud is a very good example in security, where a lot of cloud providers are now saying, we can be your security team. But that raises another risk question, and that is, does the board realise that simply handing to them doesn't abdicate their responsibilities internally? When you're looking to recruit, when you're looking at that recruitment market, where are the big pain points, and how are you starting to see roles and recruitment spread between providers, cloud owners and enterprises?
We see a trend that the technical roles are moving to providers at the moment. Especially, let's start with the SOC area. A lot of analysts and threat hunters jobs move to third-party providers because it's very specific knowledge, and not each single company can build their own skills in this area. It's not only about tooling, it's also about the people with the experience to do threat hunting and all the other things. On the other hand, you see more structure and process and regulation knowledge build up at the side with the companies, not only because new regulations pop up, because they have to structure and manage their providers. In the report, you also find that the third-party providers are seen as a major risk for the business, so you have to manage them. We have to audit them and all the stuff, so the supply chain is getting more and more important, and to manage that, you need people to understand processes and regulations. It's more the technical stuff moves more to the outside world, and this procedural and structural more to internal resources. And by the way, that's better to train, in fact, and faster than the technical piece. You can build people from other departments, cross-train, etc. You can't become a threat hunter in 2 days, but it's easier to learn compliance stuff because you can read it, understand it, it's a different way. But I want to loop back to your statement about the tools as well, because that's one of the biggest pain points in cybersecurity from my point. We have built a kind of patchwork of solutions over decades. We build like Rome. We build an empire on the next empire, on the next empire, and the next empire. And sometimes the tools are just there to put a patch on one specific problem, which is currently hot in the press. And the companies buy the tools, someone jumps on the bandwagon, whatever. You saw how many GDPR tools we saw recently. And then they implement tools, they think they are secure. Someone implemented it, moved away, no knowledge in the company anymore. So we have, to a certain degree, sometimes not an integrated and holistic cybersecurity strategy because it has grown over decades. Instead of questioning what we have implemented so far and how to bring it to the new maturity level required to the current threat landscape, companies keep everything up and running. They have a landscape which is maybe sometimes even too complex for them to manage and operate. Instead of only hiring people, they should also question the way how they operate their cybersecurity environment. That's an important point for me as well, combined with the recruiting. Recruiting itself, as we said, is a massive challenge for all players, also externally and internally, because without working with universities early on and try to work on programs with them to bring them close to the business, it's nearly impossible today for all companies, even for the big ones, to the small ones, local ones, global ones, it's all around the same. And that's the reason why everybody starts now to collaborate with high schools, with universities, and also do cross trainings. So you see more and more people from other scientific areas joining cybersecurity. If they have analytical skills, brilliant, we take them. That's a challenge of the market at the moment. I'm pretty sure this will not go away because the threat landscape will be even worse in a couple of years from now. We will have new threats. Some things will go away. We had the discussion in the morning about AI and how AI will impact the first level of the SOC and what will move on. So we will have more automation and threat detection capabilities, and the security jobs will mature over the time as well. But I'm pretty sure these guys will find new measures as well, and then it will be again the race.
Security automation will help reduce the efforts that a company has to put into threat detection and other cybersecurity measures, but it will not replace people for a long time. At the same time, data is also in the security space. It's exploding. Even a medium-sized company has like 40 gigabytes of log data a day, and this number is increasing. So we need security automation, and this does not reduce the number of people needed at the same time. We try to fight the big data, but you still need human intelligence in a cyber defense team.
You've been doing this from a practical perspective more than 20 years, Matthias, same as I have. And we've seen companies roll their own solution. We've seen large vendors come in with platforms. but they all suffer from cracks and splits and poor integration. How do we build a solution? How do we persuade companies that the solutions that they're going to be taking on are secure, can deliver? Because we seem to be 25 years on from seeing the first viruses. Some of those same old attacks are still just as valid today as if the tools just never existed.
There have been all kinds of hypes in cybersecurity. 20 years ago, there was IDS was coming into existence. All companies, it was best practice in a very short period of time. Everybody was buying IDS. A year after, nobody was looking at their IDS systems because everybody noticed there is just too much going on, too many false positives. All of this investment was really lost. There have been numerous other examples of things going on like that. But still, today more than ever, companies need to look into really threat detection and incident management more than ever. 20 years ago, people and companies were not expecting to get hacked, actually. There was viruses, there was spam as something that was a problem for companies. But over the last few years, the risk of getting hacked by a dedicated attack to a company has risen in an enormous way. And if you look at the security measures that companies have put in place, you will notice that most of the companies don't have an answer to really a targeted attack on their company. And that is why I believe you have to think of smart ways how to protect yourself, or at least how to detect incidents. And this is something that many companies are just starting to learn and investing in that area. And you have to do it better than we did in the past. It's not a one-term investment where you buy an IDS, put it there, and let it run. You need something like a SOC. You not only need people who build firewalls and run them and make sure they are up and running, you need to look at what's going on in your network and on the borders of your network. If you can't do it yourself, you should get help by an MSS provider.
But how much more complex has that become? 20 years ago, we had a data center. It was in the same building in a lot of cases. We knew what the boundary was. Today, there is no boundary. Every device my users have is an access point. Every device my partners have, as we increasingly go through digital transformation and they link their systems to mine, all those companies and all their users are part of the edge of my network. They're a touch point. No one company can begin to understand what is flowing over it or make sense of this. How do we begin to build a solution for an enterprise that allows them to spot what's going on, that brings that threat intelligence, that attack hunting mechanism into play?
You have to rethink security. You have to really lose those old paradigms of, as you said, the typical, I have my firewall, I'm behind my firewall, is not true anymore. Devices are everywhere, data is everywhere. So we have to really rethink strategies. We do this in many disciplines. We have a data security team that looks into protecting the data no matter where it is, be it in the cloud, be it behind your firewall or on devices. So you have to look into that. And you have to build this cyber defense team that does not exist for many companies at the moment. That's something that you really need to do. So you could say, well, we have firewalls, so we do cyber defense. But you're not. You're only doing cyber defense if you're looking for the targeted attack that is going on. And many don't do it, and you have to rethink your strategies.
And that's a very important point, because at the end, when we work with clients, we normally work to understand first the risk profile of a client and then design the strategy from there instead of starting with a point solution and address one item. If you talk about the different layers from the protection to the detection response and all the phases, you have to understand how you have to respond to that, how you detect from the silicon to the application, because it's all about the application and the data at the end. And this changed massively. 20 years ago, we talked about the network. Now we talk about the data. The application is a big exposure. If you talk about SAP and all the other cloud applications, they are open and you have to protect your data wherever it is. And then you have to define how you can detect in various environments, on-premise, cloud, how you can get locked access from the various information to correlate that in a smart way. And then at the end, how to respond. A lot of companies are not prepared for a breach, in fact. They're still struggling whenever something happens, because something can happen. You have to be prepared. So it's, for me, an integrated and end-to-end security approach is critical for each single company. But it starts with how can I support my business strategy with an IT strategy. Returning to our initial discussion, the board will not understand if you talk about protecting or implementing a digital rights management solution or whatever. But if you explain to them that your IP data can flow around and everybody can download it, they understand how exposed they are. So you have to put it in their words and then define the strategy in that case as well with meaningful statements for the board. But important is really to look at the full picture, end-to-end perspective, and also from the infrastructure to the application.
If you were sitting in front of a board now and they were asking what they should do so they don't find themselves falling foul of compliance or having a breach or anything else, what would you give them as their key starting points to begin to do better?
I'm not as technical as my friend here, but for me, what I found out in the recent discussion is they should find out if they're really prepared for a breach. How is your incident response procedures? How they are set up? Are you really prepared? Do you have the communication processes and technology to manage a breach and including forensics and all this stuff end to end? Because that's a good starting point. You can do that with tabletop, whatever you want to do, to find out your simulations. This is the best thing to open the eyes for the risk exposure instead of starting with one technical solution.
Specifically for the board, they should even have an IT security risk management system in place. Don't deny the risk. Look at the risk and manage it. In many cases, companies have not acknowledged the risk of a targeted attack, but they should. They should look at it and then they should do something about it, or they should also accept the risk in some cases, but they need to actively manage it and not close their eyes and act as if there was no risk in place, which is not true. The point to start, the board needs to acknowledge the risk that's there and don't close their eyes and say everything's fine.
Kai, Matthias, thank you for your time today.
Thank you.